Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite method to follow to succeed at the game of networking. And when you develop a strategy that is comfortable for you, it will yield results that will work in your favor time and time again. On today's show, I'll teach you the basics about business cards and how to use them effectively and efficiently. And you'll learn some networking essentials that will keep you connected to the people and organizations that can help you grow and move forward on your job and in your business. Networking doesn't have to seem like work, and it definitely doesn't have to be drudgery. We'll teach you how to make it a routine relationship-driven process to help you gain new clients, colleagues, and collaborators in the days, months, and years ahead. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening today in the chat room or listening live or after the broadcast has aired. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we're so happy that you've joined us. I am going to take you through some basic training as it relates to networking, and I'm doing this because so often I find that many people miss opportunities when they're out and about, just like I am today. I'm out in the city of Boston, actually broadcasting from my automobile. That is the beauty of this live broadcast and technology today. And I say that because I witnessed really early this morning a Democratic sit-in in Congress that was broadcast live on Periscope, and literally millions of people watched it, including me, and we were tweeting back and forth all because of technology. So technology is wonderful, especially when it works correctly. So I want to talk to you about how networking can be done efficiently and effectively, particularly when you're looking at your business cards and what you should and should not have on your cards. And while I'm talking to you, I'm going to reach back and actually pull one of my cards so that I can use that as a point of illustration. Now, I would encourage you to go back and listen to my broadcast 2 weeks ago. I believe that was the June 9th broadcast, and that will give you a lot of essentials that I started in terms of just understanding why networking is so important. And as I said before, this show is primarily for business owners, people who are starting maybe nonprofits, or salespeople, where you have to work autonomously creating your own accounts so that you can generate your income that way. So that really is the purpose of this. Or individuals who are job searching, you definitely need to understand the dynamics of networking. And then we're going to finish out this series next week with another aspect of networking that will be very helpful for you. So what I first want to do is to give you some basics. And if you're in the United States, so often we take an awful lot for granted. But now increasingly, as we're doing business globally, and you can do business globally in your own town. Last week I was not on the air because I happily saw my son-in-law receive and get sworn in as one of the newest U.S. citizens here in the country. There were over 2,100 people who were sworn in at the Heinz Convention Center, represent 127 countries just in this one area, and we're a pretty small state. So my point is, you are probably going to be doing business with people around the world, either who have come to your city, who are one of your customers, maybe they're second generation, but the world is definitely going to be amidst the work that you do. So please, no matter where you are in the country, if you're in, most of my listeners are U.S., please don't think, oh, I live in XYZ, very small town. I don't ever see people elsewhere. Don't say that. If you travel, if you go to different conventions, if you interact with people, if you belong to a large trade association based in the United States, chances are you are going to network and interact with people, particularly in business. So with that said, let me give you the basics, pull this down first, and give you the basics, the sizes of business cards. And this is important because the sizes are different in different parts of the world. Typically, in the United States, let me pull this up in terms of format, okay? Typically, in the United States, a business card in the U.S. is 3.5 inches by 2 inches, 3.5 inches wide by 2 inches long. That's typically the size, and that's the size that is, I would say, preferred in the U.S. If you are interacting with people around in other parts of the world, such as Ireland, Italy, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, Spain, Switzerland, Belgium, Slovenia, Portugal, Turkey, and many other countries that are connected to the United Kingdom. Remember, the United Kingdom was a vast empire that touched the shores of Africa, Asia, other parts of the world. So with that said, their size is different. It is a little larger. It is 3.346 inches, 0.165 inches. So again, slightly larger than the size that we're accustomed to here in the United States, 3.5 by 2 inches. In Hong Kong, China, Singapore, and Malaysia, and again, I'm going to tell you why this is important, their size is also slightly different. It is 3.543 inches by 2.125 inches. So larger than the U.S., but in the same vicinity of the others. And then there are other sizes that are in that same vicinity. So this is my point. In the United States, if you do business primarily with Americans, primarily, then I would stick to a standard business card that's 3.5 by 2 inches. That's my point. If you are considerably smaller or if there's an odd size, and I get odd size cards all the time, be prepared to have that card tossed in the garbage at some point, especially if someone is keeping cards with a rubber band or they keep it in glassine sheets, and I'll talk to you about that next week. An odd size can be difficult to retain. Now, you may be remembered periodically or to a degree, but the long-term nature of you, of someone keeping your card, may be more remote. Now, I say that because it is not uncommon for you to have an interaction with someone. You meet a person, maybe you have a great conversation, maybe it's a very quick conversation, or maybe they get your information, and for whatever reason, they keep a standard-sized business card. But the odd sizes, I mean, significantly odd, where it's a circle or it looks like a key or something like that, those can tend to be removed because if someone is cleaning, now there's a truck that's driving by me, that happens. If someone is cleaning or getting rid of things, they may be more likely to get rid of your odd size card here in the United States. Now, this is another thing about business cards, and I just read off the different sizes based on countries, and again, there are other sizes that also can be slightly different than the 3.5 by 2 that we have referenced here in the United States. If you are doing a lot of business in other countries, in addition to the United States, then maybe you need to have different size business cards. Maybe if you are exporting products to Singapore or Vietnam or India or other countries, then maybe your card needs to be a different size. You need to match the size of the country that you're doing business. It just makes sense. And business cards are so inexpensive that it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to get different sizes printed up. Also, you may have different businesses and different services that you operate, where it is really to your advantage to have different sizes based on the countries that you're dealing with. So for those reasons and probably several others that you can create and come up with, then perhaps you need to match the size, match the focal point, the target audience in which you're trying to reach, just based on the size and clearly the design of the card. My card tends to be universal, and I've done business in 6 countries. I increasingly want to do more business elsewhere, and so this would probably apply to me. But typically, I use both sides of my card, and I want to just go through what my card looks like. And, again, it depends on your business, your service, your product, in terms of how you are going to structure your particular business card. But my name is on the face of it at the top. It's in script because I'm a woman, and I like to have that kind of look, even though my target audience is both male and female. But that works for me in terms of my style. Immediately underneath my name is my phone number. Now, gosh, I've done this show. I did this show earlier where I talked about the number of people who no longer call me on the phone and just do business with me. I just had it happen yesterday. I met a person once. I know another person who works with this individual. I've known this person quite a while. But all of the other interactions, with the exception of one phone call, was done via email. And as a result of those interactions, I ended up winning a contract yesterday. So underneath my name is my phone number so that someone can call me if they need to, my website, and I'll get back to that in a minute, and then underneath that is my email address, or actually is another website. And my email address actually falls in the middle of this card. I have on this card that I'm a speaker, trainer, and facilitator. That shows what I do. And then I have my street address on the card. And then underneath it is my email address. Now, again, depending on your business, and let's say if you are first starting off in business and you are new in business, you may want to have a more visible email address, because more and more decision makers go to your website first. They certainly do that with me, and that's why I have both of my websites at the top. And then they send me an email if they want to do business with me. So, again, that just depends on your business and how you typically connect. I've been in business almost 30 years, and I physically have gone from face-to-face encounters completely to face-to-face and phone, to email, and other forms of electronic communications. And then at the bottom of my card, this is on the first page, I have that I'm the founder of the Multicultural Symposium Series. And then at the very bottom in the bleed section, and I would encourage you, if you design your own cards, you can go online to Google and then just put business card bleed, and it'll tell you the exact dimensions that you should use if you are designing your own business card, which I've done for many years, and you need to know the bleed size before you send it to your printer. So at the very bottom, I have global diversity, leadership, social media, empowerment. And it's a black bar strip with white lettering, reversed white lettering, so that I have 2 touch points on that card to let people know what I do. Now, it's not foolproof because after 30 years, I still have a lot of people who don't know what I do. But enough people who hire me, they do know what I do. Now, the biggest thing on the front of my card is my picture. Pictures for salespeople, for some business people, can be a great connector in sealing a deal. It is not necessarily appropriate for everyone. There are some businesses where your picture wouldn't be appropriate. If you work for a large firm and there's a standard look and they want to really emphasize their logo before your name, then I don't have a logo on my card. So my face becomes my logo on my card. So I always emphasize my face instead of my logo, with the exception of the Multicultural Symposium series. So again, it depends on what your business or products that you're servicing happens to be. Let's say if you are selling a terrific thumb drive, just making this up, maybe the thumb drive needs to be on your card because that's your principal sales point, and that's the product that you actually sell. So you'll have to figure that out for me, for many speakers, for many salespeople, for definitely people in real estate. Your photo makes a big difference. And so I have a photo that I've used for quite some time. And even though I've had other photos since this particular one that I've used, they all look pretty similar. So my hair color is pretty much the same. The look is the same. This picture is a little dated, but it still is very similar to what I have looked like for the last 10 years, really. If your hair color has changed, if your face has changed, if anything about you has changed, then you need to go with a more updated picture. There's nothing worse than seeing a picture on a business card, and then the person looks completely different because the picture was taken 25 years ago. So you need to be the judge of how the image that you want to portray, and most importantly is that you want to have a consistent image, so that you are representing yourself in the best likeness, but also in a consistent manner. So that's the front of my card. Now, the back of my card, and this is where I think a lot of people miss out because you have all that real estate on the back and you don't use it wisely. The back of my card is fairly crowded, and at some point I'm probably going to change it. But because I wanted to take advantage of it, I emphasize at the top black bar this radio program. Because a lot of people know of me as, oh, yeah, you're on the radio. That becomes a unique position for me, and I take advantage of it. So, again, when I'm networking and working with people, I want them to know the multiple ways in which I engage in my services. It's not any different than, I'm going to use Steve Harvey as an example, because he boasts that he has 12 jobs, and he's a multimillionaire. So you have to be confident and courageous enough to put it out there, the different services, the different products that you offer, and take full advantage of it on your business card. I see a lot of business cards that really don't explain what the person does. Or it could be too busy where you confuse people. So you want to have a happy medium so that there's balance between helping people to understand your particular products and services, products or services, in a very clear and coherent way. So at the top, I talk about this radio program, and I actually put the blogtalkradio.com/globalcarol at the top bar because a lot of people want to know. I know that many people listen to my show after the fact. That is the beauty of internet radio. They can't sit here on Thursdays at 1 p.m. and listen. But maybe I've talked about something or I've had a guest on that they're interested in, and I can give them this card and they can always pull up my show at Blog Talk. And now they can certainly go to my blogs on my website at tellcarol.com or carolcopelandthomas.com. And every Thursday when I do the show, I actually embed the show on the blog so they can listen right there and then read the commentary. So I have information about my show on the next three lines and basically tell them the same thing, can't listen live, download and listen to the show anytime. And then I spell out the various things that I do. Speaker, this is on the next two lines. Speaker, trainer, consultant, facilitator, author. Next line, workshop leader, banquet / MC, coach, international tour director, because I'm a CITM now. And then the next line is more for credibility's sake, 20-year member, National Speakers Association. Because for someone who may never know who I am, they just met me for the first time, and they're looking over my card, and then they say, oh, she's a member of a national organization, not because she just joined it, but she's been a member for a long time. That adds credibility to who I am. Then finally, the last two lines, again, there's a lot going on this card, but I'm walking you through this because this may be an opportunity for you to reexamine how you can do your networking through your business card in a more productive manner. And then I have a tagline: when you need the right presentation or program, call Carol. And then my telephone number is restated on the back. Book Carol today, the number, and my email address. Now, I do that for a very specific reason. Somebody may receive your card, and they're trying to sort them out in their office or at home or wherever, and they're tossing out who they don't want. And they're interested in you, but they don't want to have to search for your phone number. So I give them my phone number and my email address in two spots, on the front of the card and on the back of the card. So make it easy for your folks to do business with you. Make it easy. A lot of people don't use their address on their business card. I have two schools of thought for that. Now, I have a home office, and I do have my address there. I'm very careful about where I go and how I conduct business, and I understand that for some people. But for some individuals, they may feel more comfortable doing business with somebody who has an actual physical address. If you are uncomfortable with an actual physical address on your card, then maybe you can rent a post office box at one of the stores like mailboxes, used to be called mailboxes, et cetera. I know they're owned by UPS now, whatever kind of rental company that will rent you an address. Now, that depends on your business. I mean, there's so much internet business going on now where that may not even be necessary. But if it is in your business, and you don't want to use your physical address because you have a home office, then maybe you want to think about an actual address connected to a mailbox. So it would be XYZ address, box 259 in your town, USA, or et cetera. So that will be up to you. But designing and really thinking through your business card can bring in business, because tell me, more than once, I've had people to keep my card for years. I just had an interview. I just did an interview with someone who has kept my material now for 16 years. I gave her some material 16 years ago, and she still has it, and she referenced it. So you want that kind of retention, and you want to have as much information on a card so that people will keep it and they will think of you when they need it. Now, this is a couple of other points, and again, I'm specifically talking about business cards today. You need to find as many opportunities as possible to send your card to people on multiple times, during multiple times. Maybe someone or a group of either your clients or your prospective clients. Get your card 3 or 4 times a year at different times because of the mailings that you send out. I'm talking about physical mailings that you mail from the post office. I totally believe in online activities, completely. But I also know the power and the tangibility of having paper. That's why a lot of people still get catalogs. That's why a lot of these companies still put out catalogs, even though they have your email address and they send you information electronically. They have all of that, but there is still power in paper, and you want to take advantage of it. So maybe you need to figure out a direct mail campaign to extend your networking where you just pop in a business card with the mailings that you do. Maybe you want to send a thank you card out, which I did during the holidays, to every single one of my clients, thanking them for doing business with me. And maybe that's the time of year, during the holidays in December, and maybe now, since this is mid-year, where you send out a thank you card or a thank you email to your prospects as you're continuing to network, and you pop in your business card. I would also suggest that you go to Twitter, put in the hashtag business cards, and also put in the hashtag networking. And see, you'd be amazed at what comes up. I actually just did that today. And there are lots of very good ideas and things that will stimulate you in terms of how you can network and how you can use your business cards more effectively. Also, go to Google and put in business cards and networking. And then when that page comes up, then segment it and then go to the video page. There's a menu bar at the top of Google, and you can choose video, and I would suggest that. See what ideas come up. Select images. See what comes up with that. And select news, because there may be some articles about these topics that you can then retweet. You can send it out to your Twitter account, your LinkedIn account, or you can send it to Facebook or Instagram, etc. And I'm mentioning those in Periscope because they're really big in the news now. So think of how you can generate ideas and things that will work for you just based on Twitter and putting in different hashtags that will bring up conversations and threads and postings, and then doing Google searches where business cards, networking can, and if you're using Yahoo or whatever your search engine happens to be, the same would apply. Number two is to send articles to your prospects and clients. So again, okay, you come across a really nifty networking article that you think one of your prospective clients will be very interested in, and then you mail an article to that person, not email, you mail an article to that person and enclose your business card. Thinking of you, thought this article would be helpful in your journey in life or whatever, have a great afternoon, evening, day, summer, whatever. Maybe it's an article about 15 things to do on your summer vacation between July and August, whatever. So again, the idea is to be helpful to your clients and your prospects and include your business card in with the information and the materials that you send to them. Now, if you are doing business overseas, particularly in China and some of the Asian countries, be very careful how you receive business cards from individuals from that part of the world, or if they're wherever you are in the country, same point applies. Business cards in other cultures, particularly in China, extremely important. It's a ritual in terms of how business cards are given out to people, how they are passed to people. They are done in a very endearing way, a very respectful way, and your card is also treated the same way. After the fact, we'll write on business cards, and I'll talk about that next week. But if I am in a mixed group and I am engaging in passing a business card around to someone, and I am talking with someone who is Asian, I will never write on their card because that is a sign of disrespect. I would, again, encourage you to do business cards, put business card Chinese, and go to YouTube, do a search for that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There are cultural dynamics that play a big factor in how business cards are treated in other countries. So, and then, of course, I've also talked to you about designing the card. So I wanted to drill down and go deep in that. And then next week I'm going to help you to figure out how to organize these cards and talk to you about how long do you keep business cards? Do you keep them forever? Or is there an actual shelf life to them and other dynamics that deal with networking? But I wanted to give you some pragmatic information so that you can really explore efficiently and effectively networking, particularly as it relates to business cards. Have a great week or weekend. Empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. And check out my newest information at tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com. We will be announcing the November 3rd Multicultural Conference in the next week or so. We have a great speaker lineup, so stay tuned for that information. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.